This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We're continuing, inshallah, in the lessons from the book of Bustan al-Arifin for Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. And previously we had spoken about how the Imam, he went off on a slight tangent when he spoke about the hadith innama al-a'malu bi-niyyat. And as you know, this hadith is a very precious hadith. So it is one of those ahadith in which is the Islam is considered to be founded on. So then he went on to look at what the famous hadith master Ibn al-Salah spoke about. And he had, through his effort, i.e. Ibn al-Salah, he had compiled or gone through and looked at seeing which are the ahadith on which the Islam rotates around, al-ahadith alati alayha madar al-Islam. So he went to mention all the ahadith, and that's what we did last time, mentioned all those ahadith that Ibn al-Salah had compiled. And Imam an-Nawawi, and they were 26 hadith, and Imam an-Nawawi, he said he's gone and added a few more from his own, if you like, addition. So he said this is what Ibn al-Salah has made. I think in my estimation, there's a few more other ahadith that we can add. So he actually adds another 3 ahadith to those narrations to bring them up to 28. So he mentioned 25. Did I say 24? No, sorry, 26. 26. And so he added another 3 to make them 29. So the 27th hadith, I'll just mention them quickly so we can move on. The hadith that Imam an-Nawawi adds is the hadith which is, again, a simple hadith of Sufyan ibn Abdullah. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, say to me, قُلِّي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ. Tell me something in Islam. Give me some advice in Islam which I will not ask anybody else about it. And he said, i.e. the Prophet ﷺ, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah, then be upright. And this hadith obviously is an important foundation hadith in the whole concept of istiqama, which is to be upright and not to go astray or deviate. Now, that's the 27th hadith. The 28th hadith that is added is the hadith with regards to al-haya, which is very poorly translated as being shy or having shame, and that is the hadith of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shi't." If you have no shame, then do as you please. There is a longer version of the hadith. What does it start off with? Do you know? إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. The addition of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, that which the people have attained, mean they have managed to conclude from the initial words of prophethood, mean this is like words which have been passed on through the prophethood, is this hadith that if you have no shame, then do as you please. As I mentioned previously, it's not really our position now to talk a lot about these ahadith, because each one of the hadith is in itself a lesson. So we're just going to make reference to it, and then somebody can go back to it. Inshallah, why I prepared for you a handout, but I didn't have a chance to print it out, is all those ahadith that Ibn al-Salah mentioned, and their reference in terms of the 40 hadith Nawawi, because there's the Imam Nawawi has his other compilation, which is the 42 ahadith. So I've just cross-referenced them, and then you can go back and maybe even listen to further explanations of this. And the last one that Imam Nawawi adds is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, which is the hadith that I mentioned to you previously in these lessons, which is that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, do you see if I prayed the five daily prayers, the obligatory prayers, and I fasted Ramadan and I made halal what is halal, and I made what is haram is haram, and I do not increase anything on that, will I enter Al-Jannah?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Na'am, yes." And we mentioned that when we were talking about how simple the obligations of Islam is, and that's not too hard. So those are the 29 ahadith that Imam Nawawi has said that, along with Ibn Salah, the al-ahadith التي عليها مدار al-Islam, the ahadith on which Islam is based. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah. So now, you remember that was a tangent, yeah? So he mentioned that on a tangent. Now he goes back to talking about the initial topic, which is the whole aspect of al-ikhlas. So we're going to talk a little bit about ikhlas, and then inshallah next week we can talk about the other aspect of ikhlas, which is as-sidq, truthfulness. So he said, "أَمَّا الْإِخْلَاصُ فَدَلِيلُهُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلَصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ." And this is what he referred to before, which is the hadith, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "And they were not ordered except to worship Allah, having sincerity to Him in the deen, and also being hunafa." What did we say the word hanif means? Can anybody remember? Yes, ma'il, or inclined, better than deviated. Can give the wrong. So it's an inclination. Okay, so when you see the word hanafa, it means inclined. And in the terminology, hanafa is inclined towards something which is good. The Arabs have another word which is being inclined to something which is bad, or the deviation, which is similar to this. Does anybody know that word? It's the word Jenefa. So it's very similar. Hanafa and Jenefa. So Jenefa is inclination to something which is bad, and Hanafa is an inclination to something which is good. So Imam An-Nawawi further goes on to say, وَرُوِّينَ مَعْنَاتَ يعني رَوَيْنَا لَكِنْ رُوِّينَ بِصِيغَةِ الْمَفْعُولِ. It's like we were narrated to, or we were informed from حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الإخلاص ما هو فقال سألت جبريل عن الإخلاص ما هو فقال سألت رب العزة عن الإخلاص ما هو فقال سر من أسراري أودعته قلب من أحب من عبادي. This hadith Imam An-Nawawi mentions here in the beginning of this, and he doesn't comment on the isnad or the narration of the hadith, but the hadith actually in terms of its isnad is not a authentic chain. However, and this probably will need to, for us to do in a different, maybe a lecture or something, to talk about the whole concept of al-hadith al-maqbool wal-mardood, what is considered an accepted hadith and a rejected hadith. And unlike many people have the concept today that any hadith which is not sahih is not a hadith of value is mistaken, because it's not as simple as that. There's a bigger concept to understand even with a hadith which are not considered of the rank of sahih. There's still a lot of value in that, and inshallah, if Allah allows us, on a different occasion we can delve into the whole concept of the hadith of da'if and how it is used. So even though this hadith is not a sound hadith, basically it is saying, it is alluding to something important, which is that Hudhayfa was said, I asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is ikhlas? So the Prophet ﷺ said, I asked Jibreel, what is ikhlas? So Jibreel said, I asked the Lord of All Might, what is ikhlas? So he said, meaning Allah, it is a secret of my secrets that I place in the heart of whom I love, of my slaves. And therefore, I mean, we can understand even from the simple words of this hadith is that ikhlas, yani, which we know from other narrations, is that ikhlas is not something like many other things. Ikhlas is essentially a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a gift from Allah whom He bestows on whom He chooses from His ibad. It's like hidayah at the very basic level. Hidayah that Allah guides. يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So when Allah guides somebody, that guide is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a level more than that, we have different aspects of guidance. So when Allah guides you to Islam, that's on one level. But then when Allah guides you to be amongst the people who do good deeds and acts of righteousness, and that's another level of guidance. Then you have the guidance of when Allah chooses you to be amongst those who, for example, pray in the night. That's another gift that Allah gives to more specific people. And when you are amongst those people who have that ikhlas, which is the absolute sincerity, that's a further gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that all these things are something that essentially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless people in accordance to. Now, Imam Nawawi then goes on to, because if you remember, his main theme here was to try and just be shortened. He doesn't want to elongate the topic too much. So he just brings you some of the sayings of the different imams. So he starts by mentioning some of the words from Imam Al-Qushayri, famous imam from the 4th century. And inshallah, what I will try to do as well, because there's a lot of references to lots of these imams. So inshallah, what we'll try and do is every lesson we will we'll talk a little bit or give a little brief biography about these imams, so that inshallah, by the end of the book, we would have compiled a good reference to some of these imams who we might know their names, but we don't really know who they are. So Al-Qushayri was one of the imams who, like I said, was in the 4th century. And to put that in perspective, 4th century, when was Imam al-Shafi'i present? Which century after Islam, after the Hijrah?
Second,
yeah. So he was second. He was born in 150 of Hijrah, after the Hijrah, and he died just at the turn of the 2nd century. And Imam Ahmad obviously was more towards the 3rd century, the beginning of the 3rd century. And towards the end of the 3rd century, you would have Imams like Al-Bukhari and Muslim and so on. So, and then Imam Al-Ghazali was towards the 5th century. So you see that simple timeline. So here, this person was, Al-Qushayri was born in the year 375, and he was one of the great imams. He was from a place called Khurasan. Khurasan, which is what is today in the area, what is considered the Asia Minor. So the area which is where the old Soviet Union is. It's almost like the extended part of Persia, so beyond Iraq. And that area actually is where a lot of ulama came, famously Al-Bukhari is from there as well, and Imam Muslim and other of these imams. He was a person obviously of knowledge and studied Islamic knowledge, and he also was somebody who was quite eloquent in his language. He learnt Arabic, and he knows how to speak different languages as well. He had studied the fiqh, he had studied the foundations and the furu', and he has a famous book which is called Al-Risala Al-Qushayriya. It's like a letter, a message, in which he again summarizes some of the basic principles of the foundation of understanding the deen and going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Imam Al-Qushayri says, with regards to ikhlas, he says, Al-Ikhlas ifradul haqq fi at-ta'a bil qasd. وهو يريد بطاعته التقرب إلى الله دون شيء آخر من التصنع لمخلوق واكتساب محمد عند الناس أو منحة مدح من الخلق أو معنى من المعاني سوى التقرب إلى الله. So basically he's defining for us what ikhlas is, and he's saying that ikhlas, because we all understand ikhlas as being sincere, yeah, so here, but it's the following sayings are all about how do we understand it in a much more, you know, making it much more easier. And that's why, you know, the people say that, you know, with examples, things become much more clearer. So he said it is when you single out al-haq, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you single him out with your obedience and with your intention, with your resolve to go towards him with that obedience. So singling out Allah with the obedience and with that resolve. So you're intending him. And that you want with your good deeds, with your obedience, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with anything else. You don't want to achieve anything else from either trying to come closer to any of his creation, or by trying to get some sort of praise from the people, or to get some sort of a good stature or status amongst the creation or the people, or any of those meanings. So even though you're not even trying to get anything, even though there's no, let's say, material, nobody, you're not intending from it to be paid, but even just trying to get some sort of praise, some sort of somebody saying that's well done, that's really good, even that, and that is even more dangerous, you know, because that's a hidden thing. If you go now and somebody invited you to give a talk or give a say something, and you are paid for this, you say, look, I charge, you know, this much to do that, then that's clear that you're taking money in exchange for that. So it's very clear. But when you're not doing that, and you're saying, no, actually, I don't do that. I do it fi sabilillah, I do it for... But you are wanting people to say something nice to you or something good or to praise you, and that is your intention from doing that, then you have lost the ikhlas. And that goes for any action. You can measure on any action, whether it says helping people out, whether it's about even standing up for the truth, whatever actions it may be. And also, he goes on, so this is Al-Imam Nawawi explaining what Al-Qushayri said. He said also, in a similar one, a smaller and briefer explanation, Al-Ikhlas At-Tawakki An Mulahadat Al-Ashkhas. It's to beware from the observation of people. That's as simple as ikhlas can be. So that you are not aware, or you beware from the observation of people. So you're no longer observing others how they are observing you, because that is how you are trying to achieve that sincerity. You're trying to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you're no longer looking at people, whether they're smiling, whether they're praising you, whether they're angry about you. So you can see the very nature of how it is about really trying to keep away from any aspect where there is involvement in that regard. Now he mentions another meaning of it. And this is from Abu Ali al-Daqqaq, who is actually related to Al-Qushayri, but we will not talk about him now because we'll leave that for another time. So Al-Daqaq said, Al-Ikhlas At-Tawaqqi an Mulahazat Al-Khalq, which is same to what Al-Qushayri said, to beware from the creation looking onto you. The other one was that you are observing the creation. والصدق التنقي عن مطالعة النفس. To be truthful is to be purified from observing the self. So also being aware of not observing yourself and what you are achieving by this action. And that means that even when you're doing the action, you're not looking at what you are attaining for your own self. Because, so the first part is to ignore the people, yeah? The second part is, which is the sidq, is to ignore what you are trying to achieve through the nafs. And the nafs is like your alter ego. What your nafs is going to get out from doing this act. Because even feeling that there is a very, you know, that's why we will see that ikhlas is very dear, it's very rare to achieve that, is that even when you feel you're getting a satisfaction from this action, there could be an element of untruth in your ikhlas. Okay, so you are doing something, say you got up, I don't know, you prayed the Qiyam al-Layl, you got up in the night, yeah, nobody's watching you, nobody's aware of you, only you are doing it by yourself, and between you and Allah. If you felt happy that you are doing this ibadah, then that happiness might come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's made. But if you feel that almost like you have a feeling of satisfaction that, you know, I've really achieve something here, yeah? And it's like you feel on top of the world, you feel that you've done something really great. That feeling of doing something great, there might be an element of untruth, because now it's like you are gaining something from it.
Yeah.
It's like a riya, but riya usually is related to other people. So it's much more finer than this, because there's nobody here. Nobody's observing you, nobody's seeing you. It's just between you and yourself. So in yourself, if you feel so satisfied that I've actually done something great here, you've lost the finer element of ikhlas, because ikhlas is about not getting even something for yourself. Okay, and we'll see another saying about this, inshallah ta'ala.
What if you're happy because you've been obedient to Allah? That's the source of happiness, not self-admiration.
So there you go. You've explained it very nicely. Because so you, if you're happy, and that happiness usually comes with the content that you've done something good, as opposed to being admiring yourself and feeling satisfied that I've achieved something great here. So it's very fine tuned, but. It's that's why it's difficult initially for somebody to get that fine tuning, because here when we're talking about ikhlas, we're trying to not have, and that's why he says there is no i'jab, there is not even to feel really delighted with what you're doing, because when you really feel that delighted, you've achieved something for yourself and it's not for Allah. So it's very, and you have to be careful that it's very easy to say, okay, I'm not doing it for anybody, but it's harder to say, I'm not even doing it for myself. Because if you're doing it for yourself, you're not doing it for Allah. So that is the kind of thing that you have to achieve. And Imam An-Nawawi goes on and says, he said, وَرُوِّنَا عَنِ السُّوسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ مَتَى شَهِدُوا فِي إِخْلَاصِهِمْ الْإِخْلَاصِ احْتَاجَ إِخْلَاصُهُمْ إِلَى إِخْلَاصِ. This is a very nice saying of As-Susi here. Whenever they find or they feel or they observe that there is ikhlas in their ikhlas, yeah, so they're seeing their ikhlas. Yeah, actually, I'm a mukhlas, yani. Okay, I'm sincere. Then he's saying their ikhlas needs ikhlas. Okay, their sincerity needs to be purified. It's not sincere. Their sincerity, because they're seeing themselves, and they're almost like being happy. This ajab, to be delighted with oneself. So you can see again how that differs. And then he says, وَرُوِينَ عَنِ السَّيِّدِ الْجَلِيلِ ذِي النُّونِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ قَالَ ثَلَاثَةٌ مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. So the Noon, again, we'll come on a different day to talk about him, inshallah. So there's three signs for ikhlas. What are these three signs? It's all about, again, the whole concept that we're talking about here. So the first one is إِسْتِوَاءُ الْمَدْحِ وَالذَّمْ مِنَ الْعَامَةِ. That for that person, it's equal for him whether people praise him or they disgrace him, you know, the general public. He doesn't care. And it's for him, it's the same. Whether people speak highly of him or they speak low of him, for him it's the same. Why is it the same? Because again, he's not doing it for them. So he's not seeking their praise, nor is he affected or is he concerned that they speak badly about him, because he's not doing it for them. So that's number one. Number two, نسيان رؤية الأعمال في الأعمال. To abandon seeing the actions in the actions. And that means that when a person is doing the actions, he's not observing how, the intricates of the actions, so that he doesn't start to, he's not happy with the actions in his actions. Again, this goes back to what we were saying before, that being delighted by his actions. So he gets on with the work and he does the acts of ibadah without making or scrutinizing or attempting to do to do goodness with the actions for the sake of the actions. Again, one of the finer points of trying to achieve that. And thirdly, اقتضاء ثواب العمل في الآخرة. To attain or to try to look at the reward of the action in the آخرة. So again, it's about anticipating the reward. It's about not looking at the action itself and trying to see the action and what you are doing and the action. Rather, it's more about the heart and where the heart is in all of this. And lastly, it's about being equal in terms of how you are viewed or spoken about in front of the people. And we will talk about that as well, inshallah, later on in terms of the actions, because there is also a saying that, you know, the people who have reached a level of truthfulness, they have not reached it because of the actions that they have done, but rather it's about what's inside them. And that's something that we'll dwell on, inshallah, a little bit more. Then he says, when you narrate from Al-Mar'ashi, Hudhayfa Al-Mar'ashi, rahimahullah, Hudhayfa said, الإخلاص أن تستوي أفعال العبد في الظاهر والباطن. So إخلاص is when your actions, and this is something I think easy to understand. إخلاص is when your actions outwardly and inwardly are equal. They are the same. Meaning that when you do actions by yourself and you do actions in front of people, it's the same. You don't change your actions. You know, when you're praying in the masjid, you pray a little bit more with more humility, and you know, you're more focusing, or you at least, you know, it's appearing on you. You maybe take a little bit longer with your ruku' and sujood and so on. But when you're by yourself, you're rushing the prayer. So that is goes against ikhlas. Ikhlas, you're doing the same whether you are in front of people or outside people. And then for Al-Fudayl, he said, from سيد الجليل فضيل بن عياض قال ترك العمل لأجل الناس رياء. When you leave actions for the sake of people, this is رياء. It's a form of showing off, or it's a form of pride or boasting. But not quite boasting, but it's a form of showing off. وَالْعَمَلُ لِأَجْلِ النَّاسِ شِرْكِ. When you do things for the people, it's a shirk. It's you are doing it not for Allah. And ikhlas is when Allah and يُعَافِيَكَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمَا. Ikhlas is when Allah protects you and saves you from either of these two. So if you do things for people, that's shirk. If you leave things for the sake of people, that's also a form of shirk, because riya is a minor shirk as well. How do you leave things for people? Simple thing, for example, you want to give a donation. Okay, you're in your mind, you're going to give the donation. But then when you want to give the donation, you say, actually, I will not give it because people might see me give the donation. And so you stop doing the donation because you, for the sake of the people. Or, you know, you might normally be praying in a certain, you know, certain length. You're praying a long prayer, but then you saw that people are watching you, so you say, okay, I'm just shortening my prayer, I won't lend it. So anything where you leave actions because of the people, that's also goes against the whole concept of ikhlas, because again, you're not doing it for the people. Al-Tustari, Sahal ibn Abdullah al-Tustari rahimahullah, he was asked, what is the thing that is the most hardest on the nafs? And again, the concept of the nafs is something that for a person, we're talking about the garden of the aware, those who are aware, those people are aware of their nafs, and they're aware of their internal, their soul, how to look after it, how to deal with it. So they're always aware of this concept of the nafs. And the nafs is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many times in the Quran. And it's almost like, you know, it's almost, we say it's an alter ego. So it's almost like somebody else. It's another person who is you, but it's not you. So you are almost like, you know, you're two people. There's you who's trying to control your nafs. Okay, nafs, the nafs is usually usually trying to come out of control. You know, it wants to take you certain things. It wants to satisfy itself in certain things. It wants to follow the desires. It wants to achieve certain prestigious things. It wants people to acknowledge it. It wants to feel its fill. It wants. And you as an individual, you have to tame your nafs. So there's a lot of discussion in this on this concept within the path of understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. As for the one who fears when the standing in front of his Lord, and he forbids a nafs, anil hawa, from the desire, then he is the one who will be, his abode will be al-Jannah. So you can see here, he is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly showing this alteration. So he is the one who is afraid of standing in front, and he prohibits a nafs from al-hawa. So there is you prohibiting the nafs from the desire. This nafs is not here, it's inside you. So how do you control that nafs? So that is the whole argument, and we'll talk about that inshallah in due course. So Al-Tustari was asked, what is the most hardest thing on the nafs? Okay? What is the most difficult thing on this? He said, Al-Ikhlas. Why? Because the nafs has no share in the ikhlas. Because ikhlas is when the nafs has nothing. You remember how we said the fine, even self-admiration and to be happy and satisfied with the action, is something the nafs is achieving. So ikhlas is when even that is not happening. Yusuf ibn al-Husayn rahimahullah, he said, أَعَزُّ شَيْءٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا الْإِخْلَاصِ. It's one of the most rarest things in the dunya to have ikhlas. And Imam Nawawi further mentions, saying of Al-Maghribi, Abi Uthman Al-Maghribi, he said, إِخْلَاصُ الْعَوَامِ مَا لَا يَكُونُ لِلنَّفْسِ فِيهِ حَظٍّ. The basic general public kind of ikhlas is what we're talking about, which is that the nafs has no share in it. But then there is إِخْلَاصُ الْخَوَاصِ. This is the people who are more special, if you like. Those are the people who are chosen. Their ikhlas is, he said, مَا يَجْرِي عَلَيْهِمْ لَا بِهِمْ فَتَبْدُ مِنْهُمُ الطَّاعَاتُ وَهُمْ عَنْهَا بِمَعْزِلٍ وَلَا تَقَعْ لَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا رُؤْيَا وَلَا لَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا اِعْتِدَادٍ. So the people who are the higher class, if you like, of ibadah, and their higher class of ikhlas is when even their ikhlas, they're doing the actions, it's like they're not even thinking about the whole concept of ikhlas, and it's not even in their mind. Because remember when we said what Yaqub mentioned, Susi, he said that ikhlas, when you're looking at your ikhlas and you're happy with your ikhlas, then your ikhlas needs ikhlas. So here, these people are not even thinking about ikhlas. They're doing the actions, and in their mind is that this is, and this is already for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like they are completely in a different world. They are completely segregated from the whole concept of action. They're not looking at the actions. They're not scrutinizing their actions, but rather it's just happening. Okay, so it becomes almost very natural to them. And these are the special category of people. Yeah? I can see a lot of people confused now. So I think I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop there, and then I'll allow anybody if wants to have any questions. But inshallah, we'll come back to this topic. It's not finished yet. But why is it getting tougher and tougher and harder and harder? Because the ikhlas is very, as he said, is very rare. It's not easy to achieve it. And it is something that a person tries to, try to obviously intend to achieve that or wants to achieve that. But it becomes difficult because you have to leave everything, yani everything at the door. Nothing for the people, nothing for yourself, even that basic. So it becomes a struggle. And that struggle, obviously, like anything with dedication and with practice, it becomes, inshallah, slowly comes to an individual. Yes, brother, you wanted to say something?